PATCO, the old controllers union, is not only back, but it's certified and it has a new mission. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Ron Taylor, who is the president of the Professional Air Traffic Controllers Organization, PATCO. That's a name we haven't heard an awful lot since 1981. We're here to talk about that, and also to talk about a somewhat remarkable turn of events in which Ron was offered a job back with the FAA, something that we also thought years ago might never happen again. Ron, thanks for taking a few minutes out to talk to our listeners today.
Good afternoon.
I was kind of surprised to see PATCO soliciting membership from air traffic controllers in the private sector. Tell us what happened to PATCO after all the air traffic controllers were fired in 1981, and what it's been doing since and what it's doing now.
Back when the strike happened, of course, the government decertified the union, and they bankrupted the union. But the union went on for approximately another year, and ultimately around October of 1982, the organization, the union PATCO, went bankrupt. And from that point on, we formed another union under the presidential powers of Gary Eads, and it was called USATCO. And it lasted for a few years, and then we had other people that operated PATCO from a non-union situation called PATCO Lives. But the current PATCO came back to life as an actual union in the late 90s.
Okay, now, you obviously were working as an air traffic controller in 1981, so you must have been a member of the original PATCO.
That's correct.
Okay. What is the goal of PATCO now? Is it to challenge NATCA, or is it to go in a different direction?
No, we're not challenging NATCA or any other union. We're just basically trying to represent the working air traffic controllers in the private sector because there is a definite need. There's over 231 nationwide air traffic controllers, or towers, I should say, that are in need of union representation. In 1981, from memory, the FAA actually closed a lot of these towers down, and the contract tower program began because they used those people that were in those towers and brought them into the federal sector. But they privatized a lot of these towers, and what's out there needs union representation, and they need good union representation to address the serious problems that exist within their own tower.
Now, this is a world I think a lot of pilots don't really know exists. Tell us about the private sector towers. Where are they? Where are they most likely to be found, and how are they different from the FAA towers?
Well, let's take a tower like we represent controllers right now in Glacier Park, Montana. And they probably have 100,000 operations a year, and they run general aviation, commercial aviation, and military operations. But they don't have the nearer the manpower that the FAA has. They're operating with like almost one-fourth. A typical tower of FAA standards would have probably 12 to 13 controllers in that facility. At Montana, we have four controllers. They work longer hours. They work longer hours without breaks. And the system is backwards in time as far as what they're required to do. They don't have all the state-of-the-art equipment. They don't even have bright displays in some cases. So the system, what I call is the hometown America air traffic control towers, they're out there. They're definitely needed, but they don't have the equipment and the manpower that is required.
Well, now, one of the things that is characteristic of the union battles in a lot of industries is the attempt to kind of stretch the law of supply and demand as far as possible. And what I mean by that is that unions in general can advance members' pay and benefits to the point where the entire unit becomes uncompetitive with others within the industry. At what point would a private sector control tower just close down rather than absorb the increased costs of three or four times the staff?
I don't think that they would close them down. I just think they need to, at least somewhere in the middle there, address the manpower close to what the FAA standards are. If the FAA is going to require the professional controller in the private sector to maintain the same exact standards as the federal sector in class physicals and qualifications, CTOs and that, then they should at least address the same problems that exist in an equivalent VFR tower in the same area or on the opposite side of the country. And they're not doing that. The FAA does not address that situation. It's totally the other way around.
The FAA has done what in a business would be known as staff leasing.
Yeah, that's pretty close. They've downsized it to the point that they're subbing the work out to a private contractor and giving them X amount of dollars to make it work. And they provide, meaning the FAA provides, all the tools, okay, and the revenue to go with it. And the only thing the contractor has to do is to manage the situation with the labor force. To me, a contractor that in the private sector is no more than a labor force employer who is seeking talent to do the job that it requires.
So all the incentives are there to cut costs, but none of the incentives are there to improve technology. They don't really have the flexibility to do that, even if they could.
That's correct. They don't.
Right.
They don't. And then the only way that that would happen would probably be through congressional action, union action, to lobby for it. But, you know, I don't think the FAA is just going to give them more stuff. It's going to be either the employer. Now, if the employer wants to get off his wallet and maybe enhance the facility by providing bright, maybe that will happen. Maybe the local city that's involved or the county who runs the airport, maybe they'll provide a bright display or better technology in communication. But I don't think the FAA is just going to carte blanche go out and give in a way anything. They're trying to operate it, okay, as a very lean, okay, operating situation.
All right. Let me ask you a couple of other questions regarding updating us on PATCO. And then in the second half of this, I want to get into your personal situation where
Sure. You
were actually offered a job back after 26 years. But when did the current incarnation of PATCO come into existence? How long has it been a union again?
We came back approximately in the late 1996 area, and we've been certified now with the National Labor Relations Board as an independent labor union, and we represent air traffic controllers.
Okay.
And we've been building ever since then.
Ron, how big is PATCO now? Are you essentially running this as a one-man shop?
No, we have elected vice presidents in Virginia, Ohio, California, Florida. They're all constitutionally elected. They're all certified by the rank and file. Our membership is right now dues-paying members exceeds over 500. I have contact with approximately 2,000 air traffic controllers over PATCO.
Okay, well, we have our basic background on what PATCO is doing today. Ron, I want to take a break here, but when we come back, I want to talk about your personal situation because a funny thing happened on the way to the mailbox. My guest is Ron Taylor, who is the president of PATCO. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News. We'll be back in a moment.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, and my guest is Ron Taylor, president of the Professional Air Traffic Controllers Association. Now, Ron, we talked about the union, but I want to talk about your personal situation because apparently you got a letter from the FAA. Had you been working on this, or did this just come to you out of the blue?
Back in September of 2006, the FAA sent me a letter if I was still interested in my position as an air traffic controller back to a facility that I was fired from in 1981, West Palm Beach, Florida. I answered the question yes, and I had qualified it, but with a situation about the money situation that they were offering wasn't quite correct. However, they accepted my application, even with that mentioned on my application. And from that point forward, I have been jumping through all their hoops, played all the games, medical, psychological, security background. I've been through everything for the last, I think it's approximately 10, 11 months, passed everything. I was fully qualified as a radar controller, a CTO controller in West Palm Beach. I was also a fully qualified air traffic controller and CPC in Miami Center. They recently just advised me about 3 weeks ago that I was offered a firm offer to West Palm Beach. I still had the issue that the pay was not correct. The pay that they were trying to bring us back at, myself included, was an embarrassing, inadequate, as I said before in my press release, substandard salary, and that should not be allowed. I tried to get the FAA in Oklahoma City to give me the person that I could appeal that decision to. They offered me no assistance, and they blew me off, in essence. And then, therefore, I had to give them – I was ordered to report to work, by the way, supposedly today. Today was my official reporting on the job site today.
Well, let me ask you the obvious question I think a lot of people would have. After a 26-year layoff, would you come back to the job at the same level of performance and ability of someone who has 12 years in the past 12 years? What does a quarter-century layoff do to those skills?
I've stayed pretty sharp in my own industry. I've stayed pretty sharp in computer. I deal with the in my own professional trade now is what I do. It would take some training, and I realize that things have changed. There's more traffic, but there's still a lot of tools the FAA uses, even in 81, that they use today. It's called flow control. The system has been backed up, okay, for many years because they flow everything out. It isn't the way it used to be in 81 years prior to the strike, where we ran aircraft, we really pumped and jammed the aircraft. I think I could go in the facility and give me the time to do it, a reasonable time. I could check out and qualify. But I really can't concede on the issue of what are they willing to pay for the talent.
Well, let me assume that somebody was willing to go to work for what they're offering coming in the door. First question is, would that improve once you became, you know, got through whatever retraining you needed and got, you know, fully qualified in the current system and equipment?
You mean the salary itself?
Yeah.
The salary itself, I've already analyzed it and double-checked everything on my numbers. But even if I was to go back to Palm Beach and fully qualify to Palm Beach, the way the new system is designed and pay structure, I still would only make almost, I would be less than half of what a fully qualified controller with the standing next to me would be making.
Okay.
Really lowered the salaries down to a level that is not correct.
Okay, the other question, I guess, would be what kind of future would there be for someone in your demographic coming back into the system now? Because aren't you still going to be bound by the mandatory retirement age?
In my situation, I was hired prior to President Nixon's air traffic control bill, prior to 1972. I entered the FAA in 1970, so and technically, theoretically, I could work, if I lived that long, to be 100 years old, I could work. I'm grandfathered is what it comes down to.
Wow, even though they fired you in 1981 and you've been off all these years, you still would be covered by that.
I would be allowed to stay in as long as I could reach my retirement age. They had that statute, and that's in the law.
Wow, that's interesting. How does that go over with people who have come in since that time and are going to have to leave in their mid-50s?
I don't know if that's really been a problem. I know they've tried it with the airline pilots to, you know, drop the or increase the ages, and the air traffic control has been a few issues. But that law was created by Richard Nixon and PATCO back in the early 70s. It's been on statute a long time. The FAA has the ability to change the law. Whether or not they do it, I have no idea. But the controllers that are there now have basically put in there 25 years. They get their high three in their income, and they retire on that income, and they go out and do something else. Or they can retire from the FAA and go work in a private contract tower.
So are you going to be getting into a situation now? Do you think PATCO will get into a situation where it seeks to represent federal employees again? Or is that really not where you're going?
No, at this point in time, we're mainly addressing what I consider the serious problems with the private controllers in the sector.
Okay. Now, how many people do you think are working in the private sector as controllers now? 231 facilities times, you know, five people?
There's probably in excess of probably give or take 2,000 air traffic controllers working in private towers around the nation.
Okay. All right. How has the reaction been to PATCO making this comeback with those folks? Are they doing well?
Yeah, we're actually doing pretty well. We have elections that are being positioned now by the National Labor Relations Board. We're getting contacts almost on a daily basis. My phone stays pretty busy, obviously. But the objective is to reach out and educate, see what the problems are. And I've seen a lot of the major issues that are out there, and the commonalities they're there, and see what we can do to address what I consider about some of the serious problems in the FAA.
Well, now, Ron, in your personal life with the FAA, you are part of a complaint that's going on in Texas regarding labor practices of some sort. Fill us in on exactly where that is.
Okay, presently right now in Dallas, Texas, we have a certified class action that I feel has the FAA boxed into a corner where they have discriminated against the hiring of PACO controllers since the ban was listed by President Clinton back in 1993.
What happens when those controllers have tried to apply for their jobs back?
In 1993, the FAA supposedly sent out a press release, they claim, and approximately 5,500 PACO controllers became aware, okay, of the FAA's intent to hire former controllers of my class. And we contacted the FAA. They came out with a special announcement just for the PACO controllers. And over the course of the last 14 years, out of the thousands of controllers that they have hired, okay, they've only hired 846 PACO controllers. They've hired people with no experience, zero experience, people that had different backgrounds that should not even be allowed to come back in the FAA. But the controllers that were the PACO situation, they have discriminated against them in the Age Discrimination Act for the last 14 years. So only 846 have actually been hired on record.
How many of those 5,500 would have said yes anyway?
I think probably in the early days, probably about 5,000 would have probably said yes, if in fact the FAA had done what President Clinton had asked. And then if that would have happened, I don't think we would have the quagmire we have now within the agency of trying to backfill as fast with the need, because a lot of those controllers would have stayed in. The PACO controllers could have become instructors, okay, moved up into the FAA into higher positions. They could have been an asset to the company being the FAA. But the FAA chose to hire from other sources, and now there is a desperate need for air traffic controllers throughout the country. I mean, it's quite obvious they have not planned after 26 years for the retirement, the mandatory retirement of the people that were hired back in post-'81.
And that's going to be just one big clump of people moving through the system all within a few-year period.
That's correct. And they haven't been doing it. The FAA is, I said it many years ago, they fired the solution and kept all the problems. They have not addressed the problems in 26 years. Reagan even said that they would rebuild the air traffic control system. Everything would be just great. And it's really, to me, it's sad that not for the PACO guys and what happened to us, because that was an act to itself. It's sad that nothing ever happened to improve the system to the state of the art that was promised by a president.
Well, Ron, you've taken on, it sounds like you've taken on a very big battle for a fairly small staff at this point. We'll watch with interest how it goes, and please keep in touch.
Okay, thank you very much.
My guest has been Ron Taylor, who is the president of the Professional Air Traffic Controllers Organization. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.